like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, September 25th, 2017. And it has been our tradition here for many, many years. I'd like to invite anyone that attends tonight to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, our first order of business tonight is approval of the executive session minutes of September 11th.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilmember Boyes. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Vote is unanimous for approval. So, under the Maryland Open Meetings Act, there were two reasons for the executive session. First was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or promotion, performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. And the second was to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. The next item of business is then the approval of the regular session minutes.
Motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion to approve the regular session minutes by Councilman Gullius. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The record show that the decision was also unanimous. Number two on our agenda is motion 2017-31, which is the approval of water and sewer use and an allocation agreement for 36 EDUs for the Ocean East project on Seahawk River. So, who is taking
Ms. Rainier.
Ms. Rainier?
Sorry, I believe he says.
Yeah, come right on, please.
If I could, before we get started, there's been a typo in the title of the document, the water sewer use and allocation agreement. There's the information in parentheses should just be struck out, and we're going to ask Mr. Rainier to initial that change.
It's fine.
The document is approved. It's the front page. Page one. In the title itself.
Oh, in the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should have been deleted. It was another
in reference to the number of
yeah.
So, eliminating
the information in the parentheses.
In the parentheses. All right. So, whoever wants to this page, and first of all, mind introducing yourself, even though we all know you that way.
Certainly. I'm Blair Rainier with 98228 Seahawk Road.
And for the record, Mark Cropper, 6200 Coastal Highway, Suite 200, Ocean City, Maryland. I'm the attorney for the applicant. And as you know, we're here to hopefully facilitate the acquisition of 36 additional equivalent dwelling units for the next building for this project. And I'm going to have Mr. Rainier describe to you this next building, if you will, Blair.
Certainly. This is our 36 apartment unit building with the elevator, combination of bedroom mixes, and we're excited to continue our development there at Oceans East.
How is everything going so far?
It's going well. We have a good reception. We have a nice list of people that are interested. The coastal colors and design is something new for us. I'm really pleased with how it turned out. You probably see if you drive by there now, they're installing the curb and gutter and starting to come along.
Yeah, coming up with it. Okay.
Thank you.
All three buildings are going to be the same when they're finished?
So that elevation,
interior.
They're a little bit different mix of twos, threes, and ones.
Blair, by twos, threes, and ones, I think that he's talking about the number of them.
Correct.
Because one thing that I'm sure we've done in our public meetings, we've been talking about this since at least maybe 2016 earlier, maybe
2013.
And so to the best we can, we just make sure we understand what's going on.
Blair, have you had much interest from seniors in the building with the elevator?
it's a pretty mixed use right now as far as who's interested. A lot of people just want it. It's as light as what's going on to when are you guys opening up? I need a nice place to stay. But I think the elevators are going to be a nice benefit for the seniors. That really increases accessibility.
Awesome. And remind me, you just have one building with an elevator, right?
Yeah, we're
and
trying it out. Right.
Mm-hmm. The back of the property, you have a service road. Looks like it's going to be a service road.
You mean the south side?
The back of the property.
It'll be the loop part.
It looks like some utilities or something back there.
So we have, if you come in off Seahawk Road, right across from the middle school.
Right across from the daycare center.
Okay, so that's right by, is it Willie's?
Yeah.
Okay, right there. That's a construction entrance just for construction traffic. So if you could, the north side is closer to Harley-Davidson. It's a circle like this we're developing in a counterclockwise fashion. So as we finish the clubhouse and the first series of buildings, those trucks will stay out of the finished area and then come up to go out to Route 50.
No, I'm just concerned about the gravel road across from the daycare center.
Right.
Is that permanent?
No, that's a construction entrance for that. They'll just come in and out of there.
Does anyone on the council have any other questions for Mr. Renier or Mr. Bossett related to the application for 36 more EDUs? This is, again, in line with the presentations that were made over a year ago that this would be done in multiple phases. And it appears, at least from my perspective, that it's either on time or actually maybe even a little early ahead of schedule from the more most conservative.
Right. What we're excited about, I think the first building will deliver here later in the fall.
Okay.
And then just about a month or 2 months behind, each building will come online. And I'm excited about it. There's a nice little change in elevation there behind the clubhouse that really didn't notice just driving by, but it's going to create a very nice visual view, if you will. So we come out the back of the clubhouse, rocking chairs, step down to the pool deck, and then it goes down maybe another 8 feet to the pond in the middle that will have a fountain, and it's going to be a really nice view.
And I'm not trying to pick a spot, but just because obviously there's a lot of interest, which is a good thing, is in the early phase, will the clubhouse be part of the first phase?
Yes. We've got the permit. It's under construction. If you go out there today, you see the slabs poured, and we're starting to work the site work around it right now.
So, again, it's only suggestions, not a requirement, but because this is, I think, a high-level public interest thing, I think it's a positive thing, I would encourage you to at least consider maybe some sort of open house or something.
Oh, sure.
First phase. And that way, I keep on thinking, check it out. You know, I'm not the... site engineer.
Yeah, so, that would be great.
But I think that would help answer a lot of people's questions and then ask you all directly.
I'm thinking, next spring when the grass starts to green up would be a good time to welcome everybody.
That sounds great.
Is there a way for somebody to follow your progress and to find more information about when they could possibly move into these units or how they would go about it?
Sure. OceansEast.com.
OceansEast.com?
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Burrell to approve Motion 2017-31, which allocates additional 36 EDUs, which are the sewer and water hookups for the Oceans East development. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hope you have good weather.
I appreciate it.
Because that seems to be the big thing. Yeah.
Okay. Blair, the song, an initial.
So here. Now we're on agenda item 3, which is a motion 2017-29, which is the approval for the salt and the aggregate utilization agreement with the State Highway Administration for a period of 3 years. This is routine.
It's routine. We typically do at this time of year as we're preparing for the winter activities. State Highway has generally asked us to approve the agreement for 1 year. This year they've decided to reorganize their arrangement a little bit, and they're requesting authorization for 3 years for a total not to exceed $45,000. So it's a salt and aggregate agreement. Typically, we don't get aggregate from them, but we do get salt. and it's worked out pretty well. As we work through the winter months, we need to salt, brine, or surface roads in preparation for snowstorm or ice storm.
Yes. I would add a comment that many people know, but not everyone knows, all the major roads in this town are state roads, state highway. And so, fortunately, going back to the early, or at least the mid-20th century, we've had a very good working relationship with the state highway folks, and that continues. And I have to say, I'm very pleased that when we have an emergency, our folks can concentrate on the local roads and assisting with state highway and our town public works to work together on all the parking areas that are under the town responsibility, either not town owned or clearing out the parking and clearing out Main Street. It may be taken for granted, that's fine, but generally speaking, after a major snow event, you can usually get around Berlin safely, relatively conveniently, either hourly or day for many of our communities. And I think a lot of that goes back to a mutually respectful relationship with our state highway partners. I just want to know that, but we never get a chance to say thanks.
Mayor, quick question for the town administrator. I know this one of the sections says they reserve the right to deny us anything should they start to run short. Do we have a backup?
Do we have a backup plan?
I don't think they've ever denied us.
They have never denied us, but but we do have some of our own available. But they have a huge stockpile. But in a pinch, we have.
Can we keep an eye on that? So it sounds like what would happen is they're pressured and they don't have quite enough. But we would be planning for that as well.
I would say that, yeah, based on the past, they would contact us ahead of time, not the day before. And because, let's say, Mother Nature is very unpredictable.
They'll leave a pretty smart group, and I think they keep an eye on it and get in front of it.
All right, do we have any questions regarding the actual salt aggregate agreement? We have a motion to approve. So we have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve this agreement with the State Highway Administration to make sure we have aggregate and salt available for the primarily the use during the cold weather months. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. All right, next, item 4, to Park 4A, is a motion 2017-30. Approving ordinance 2017-05 as an emergency ordinance. So, who's going to take the lead here?
I can start, and then I'll ask the town attorney to assist. By way of background, the planning director was contacted, I think, maybe about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, by an individual interested in purchasing a building in town and opening a microblading business. The question was, what are the town's regulations? How they apply to that particular activity, and there were none. In looking at the code was silent. The planning director contacted me. I talked to the town attorney. We also reached out to Worcester County to understand, because the county does have an ordinance that applies to tattooing, and we were trying to determine whether or not that ordinance would apply to the town as well. It does not. The town attorney used the Worcester County ordinance as the basis for the ordinance you have in front of you to ensure that there's something on the town books that addresses the health and safety issues associated with these types of activities, microblading and tattooing and related activities. This does not prevent those activities from happening, but the ordinance sets the town standard to be the same as the county standard, which is those activities would take place under the supervision of a physician or an osteopath. Anything else you want to add, Dave?
Pretty much covered.
Since it's obviously an emergency ordinance, which we have from time to time, does anyone wish to address the mayor and council regarding the first part of this, which is 4A, the approval of 2017-05?
I wish to make a comment. I fail to see where this is an emergency. The the legislation that we're using as the basis for our code was enacted in 1985. And if we felt that it was, in fact, an emergency for the town of Berlin, I think we should have jumped on that in 1985. And then again, in 1999, the town of Ocean City felt that it was an emergency and enacted their ordinance, and Berlin still did nothing. I think we're in 2017 now, and there are a lot of things that are outdated in this policy, and I think that we have a lot of smart people that have experience in this industry within town limits that we should pull from and properly advertise before moving forward.
Does anyone else have any comments?
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
somebody. Yes.
May I come? Yeah, come forward and just identify yourself, your name.
Sure. According to these documents, I also need to give you my height, weight, eye color, hair color. Just to give you an idea of how outdated these policies are, my name is Matthew Amy. I live at 8 Jefferson Street. My wife has the Wooden Octopus, which is the art gallery that she and her sister currently run. I understand the emergency ordinance policy. I understand that not having any regulation on the books could be construed as an emergency. The issue that I have is drawing from the Worcester County ordinances. I have lived in Worcester County for the better part of 25 years. I have been forced to run my tattoo business in a different state because of those ordinances that are on the books. I have not had the financial backing nor the time to pursue altering those ordinances. I now live in Berlin. Because there are no ordinances on the book, I would like to supply possible ordinances that are more contemporary, that I was an integral part of instilling in Sussex County to make sure that the public safety was followed, and also to make sure that the standards for tattooing were not creating a barrier of entry for people wanting to start this type of business. Unfortunately, according to these ordinances, as they are stated in the proposal, it would be causing an undue hardship on myself if I decided that I would like to add this medium that I practice to the current business that exists on my property. It would also... let me preface that by saying I had no intention of doing this. I did not buy this property to open this gallery, to open a tattoo shop. I can't sell paintings and jewelry out of my tattoo shop. People come to my tattoo shop because they want tattoos. I have been a professional artist for 26 years. I have international acclaim for the work that I do. I would be happy to help form a concise and precise ordinance that would not only hold up for public scrutiny, but also allow businesses to thrive, because in all honesty, this industry has been booming for the past two decades. And there are a lot of television programs that are bringing to light the artistic aspect of what a lot of us do. And there are at least a half a dozen internationally recognized tattoo artists that live in Worcester County, and we are forced to leave the county to ply our trade. Now, Berlin has an opportunity to create this little area that would basically allow this industry to thrive within a region that has effectively governed us out to the edges. Delaware, Virginia, Wicomico County. There's a tattoo studio in Willards, right over the county line. There's two tattoo studios in Delaware. I mean, there are tattoo studios on the outskirts of the county. And by the town implementing these outdated ordinances, I think it would really be the wrong direction to move in my opinion. I also, as a property owner, think that you would be depriving me of the reasonable use of my property. I have absolutely no problem with having the health department inspect my facilities, inspect my process. In fact, I would be more than happy to help lay out the processes that I've been following for 21 years that I've been in business to ensure that the public safety is upheld, but also to ensure that the Arts and Entertainment District, which is in Berlin, would also benefit from that experience. So I hope that you would consider that in your treating this emergency ordinance as possibly a suggestion that doesn't get implemented based on the ordinances that you have listed because of the overreach and the fact that with my 26 years experience, I would not be qualified to run a tattoo establishment if this goes into place.
We received a letter today from your wife. Do you have a copy of that that you could read in?
She does.
Would you like to read?
I don't know. Would you
I
like
thought
to
it was
read?
Very well written.
I guess I'm reading it.
It was emailed to all of us.
I can read it if you like. It's up to you.
September 25th, 2017 at 11:48.
Okay, so this is from Lisa Tossey. She's also a resident at 8 Jefferson Street. As a resident of Berlin, I am concerned to see an item on the council agenda this week asking for an emergency ordinance to, quote, protect the public health, safety, and welfare of residents, end quote, from tattoo establishments. I fear this ordinance will serve to blindly adopt the county's draconian regulations against tattooing without an opportunity for public discussion and input. Are regulations necessary to ensure tattoo studios use proper sterilization and application techniques? Absolutely. They are in place and successfully implemented in cities and counties throughout the country, including Sussex County, right next door. I know this because that is where my husband, Matthew Amy, owns two successful studios where he works. Due to Worcester County's regulations, which require a medical practitioner to be present during tattooing, he has never been able to contribute to the local economy here in Maryland in his 26-year career. Because of these prohibitive restrictions, he was forced to open his first tattoo studio just outside Ocean City in West Fenwick Island over 20 years ago, a shop he still runs today, along with the second shop in Lewis, Delaware. These shops have excellent reputations locally, both for the quality of the work done and their cleanliness. In fact, Delaware health officials used his original shop, Independent Tattoo, as a model when they implemented their health guidelines for tattooing in 2002. In addition to my husband not being able to work near home, his local clients have had to travel to Delaware to get work by him. According to his records, over 55% of his Maryland clients are Worcester County residents, and they have had to travel to his West Fenwick studio over the past 21 years. He and I have spent most of our lives on the Eastern Shore and moved to Berlin from Ocean Pines just over 2 years ago due to its growing arts community. I opened the Wooden Octopus Art Gallery in town with my sister to be part of that community. We run it as a family cooperative and are proud to be able to say that everything we carry is made in Berlin. My husband is an integral part of it, creating original paintings, prints, sculpture, and jewelry, as well as spending all of his spare time renovating and improving our property in the Commercial Historic District. He is an artist first and foremost who views tattooing as one of the many mediums he works in. To date, it has been the most lucrative, and he has been recognized internationally for his work, accepting invitations to work throughout Europe and as far away as Taiwan and New Zealand. His work has also led him to do collaborative painting demonstrations in art museums in Italy and be published widely in magazines and books. Quite simply, it has also allowed him to make a good living as an artist, allowing us to invest in Berlin, a town we're proud to be a part of. It has also been important to me personally and professionally, as he has been able to support me through graduate school, both for my master's and doctorate degrees. Excuse me. In 2017, tattoos are everywhere, on doctors, lawyers, teachers, law enforcement officers, restaurant professionals, grandmothers, and yes, your neighbors. They are now accepted means of self-expression, celebration, memorial, and artistic vision. To automatically assume that the art of tattooing is dangerous to public health is backward thinking that is hurtful to some of the very community members you serve. And to choose to adopt archaic regulations in an emergency session without any public discussion or opportunity for community input is troubling. Instead, this is a great opportunity to start a conversation within our community to further understand this art form, the process behind it, and develop common sense regulation that countless other municipalities have nationwide. You have some excellent local resources who are more than willing to be part of that discussion. That was emailed earlier today, and essentially it speaks volumes.
Now, I find that the statistic in there staggering, that 55% of your clients from Maryland come from Worcester County. Can you tell me, from a business standpoint, how your business has fared through the recession of 2008?
We did fine. Statistically speaking, if you look back at the Great Depression, sales of lipstick went through the roof because people don't care about how much money they have. They care about how good they look. So they will invest in themselves. So when the recession hit in 2008, I had at least a half a dozen clients tell me as I'm working on them, you know, my rent was due yesterday, but I need something for myself. And we sustained and thrived throughout whatever economic impact occurs. And the fact that Berlin has this opportunity to create an environment that would basically foster creativity and allow this type of business to thrive within an area where the residents currently don't have any form of expression. They have to leave the county to receive this. I think you would be losing out on an opportunity if you moved forward with the proposed ordinance.
I have a question to stay with County Attorney.
Yes.
Obviously, I don't think any questions about either your professionalism or your experience or your reputation. Mm-hmm. Wish everybody had the same level of professionalism and caring about not only making money, but care of the clients as well. Mm-hmm. And I at least can say this, I think the concern on behalf of the town was, well, if we had nothing, we have no way in which to make sure there are standards. So let me ask you this, David. Is it possible that while standards are being looked at, while there is a what I call an organized and effort to update and then for the council to consider standards that are applicable to the 21st century, is it possible for us to then make sure that, I don't know what it's called, some vlog doesn't come set up camp and start doing that,
anticipate your question.
Okay. Right.
Could you pass this tonight and then amend it with different standards later? The answer is, of course.
And I would ask that you instead consider these guidelines that you approve tonight, because, again, if you install the ordinance as it's posted on your website, it would be immediately creating a barrier of entry.
Okay. And there's something I hope you understand. I wish everyone was good. I wish everyone was honorable and out for the benefit of the public.
I understand.
And believe me, there's some times when you do the job again. What the heck am I doing? I'd say 90-some% of the regulations we have for everything apply to really maybe 2-3% of the people who might try to do something. Most of it's common sense. Most of it's just, you know, good old professionalism, personal courtesy, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So I want you to understand that I think in our responsibility, regardless if it's an event, regardless if it's the operation of the business downtown, regardless if it's the ability of people to play or enjoy our public facilities, we are ultimately responsible for public safety. And therefore, I think that I think you make a very good argument. I also know that if someone is I think in the old days we used to call them ne'er-do-well. There's a ne'er-do-well out there. They're going to read about this and come hightailing to town because we don't have anything to keep them from basically doing exactly the opposite of what your objective is and what I think we should show this. Come on.
Mr. Williams, I understand your concern. I understand your concern, but what you're not understanding is that it has been this way since this town was enacted. If that was going to happen, it would have happened already.
No. I disagree respectfully, sir.
Well, I also think that you have a misunderstanding of my profession and where it has gone in the past 20 years. I understand. I understand that I have been considered a ne'er-do-well in the past because of my chosen profession. And I have had to deal with that my entire adult career. And I don't think there's as many ne'er-do-wells who are professional tattoo artists as you may think. Now, I understand the town's concern, and that's why I'm here to try to share my professional experience with the town to help integrate a policy that would be beneficial for both the public health and thriving industry.
And I say that that can all be accomplished and with an emergency ordinance to make sure that we can then develop a policy that we feel is more enlightening and can be beneficial to the artistic community as well as the vibe for the public safety.
And unfortunately, the ordinance you have proposed will do the exact opposite, and it will push the can down the road. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Because
I don't have the time or the resources to approach this from a political agenda, from a political direction.
We're asking that we're going to do, I hope, it's up to the council, that we're going to do our job to protect the public, and then actively begin the process that you have suggested yourself, which is develop regulations and standards that are contemporary. But in the meantime, okay.
Where I think the misunderstanding is that you think that the public is, that I'm a threat to the public,
or that
my industry is a threat to the public.
There are people in your industry who are absolutely a threat. And, it was a special
and there are people in every industry that are absolutely
a
threat. So you're applying misdated concepts about my industry on what is occurring today in 2017.
I would say that you would be much better off to defend your own personal reputation instead of the entire industry, because this town did not get where it is by just looking the other way. We have always set standards for everything. We have been very much concerned about individual rights. We have very much made sure that playing field is level, that it's not here to advantage some people and oppose to others. You're disregarding how we got to where we are.
I'm not disregarding that any iota.
Right.
I am simply stating that the proposed ordinance is government overreach.
Can I hear from Mr. Hickman in the back, and then we'll work our way around?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, is there any reason why this can't be tabled for 30 days so the research can be done before something archaic is enacted? Mr. Amy is the ultimate professional in this field. There is no one better anywhere around him. Things have changed since 1985. They've changed since 1999. To have a medical professional on site is absolutely ridiculous. Give it 30 days. Work with Mr. Amy. I know he's got a tight timeline with his businesses. This is really important. A business ain't going to swoop in here in 30 days and set up shop without regulation.
And you are in a position to say that with ease, and we are in a position to...
Sir, I'm a business owner. You're right. I am in a position to say that.
Yes, you can. And God bless you for being able to say whatever you feel about that, but we have to live with the consequences.
And I get it. 30 days isn't going to hurt anything.
And I see we're in 30 days of having a temporary ordinance that doesn't allow those people that would try to use this opening, this opportunity where we legally say nothing, where the law is silent, to then upturn
the
this whole situation.
A business can't swoop in here in 30 days to be established.
Have
you ever been through the business process?
Of course.
Mr. Mayor.
Spent over 30 years in business in 5 states. So don't think
good.
That
you know it can't be done in 30 days.
Okay. I have a simple question.
One thing first.
Sure.
If we look at the county's policy, this was in 1985. It says, this shall apply only in those areas of the county lying outside of incorporated municipalities. It's been available since 1985 at least.
And no one has ever suggested it. And in this world, where we're in social media and we are... We have to basically take, I think, the most protective stance we can, not to make this impossible, but to do it right. It's not, to me, I don't see where it's about. It's 30 days, 60 days, whatever it ends up to be, because we're not, it doesn't sound like me, it's going to take months, which developing, when we redid all our public policies, we redid all the public policies related to development, we got it done in about 4 months. that was a boatload of things. And we had a lot of special meetings and invited the public, invited all stakeholders, and we did it in an open way. But in the meantime, we had regulations that had been on the books for decades, minimum. Here we have nothing. We have nothing to speak to this issue. And I think that, you know, again, the council will make the decision. But I think we have a responsibility to have something that says there is a standard. Now let's see if we can improve on it. And I think we can do that together, and we can do it thoughtfully, but just remain silent on it. And in a situation where I know you think that we're just in a little iceberg here.
Absolutely not.
I get emails, questions and inquiries, not only just from all over the country, from your Philippines, from Philippines, whatever. This is a different world that way. So I guess we have to be, in my opinion, and it's my judgment, it's not about you from Europe.
I understand.
My judgment, I think we have to take a more cautious approach in today's world, where, quite frankly, I think right now, people who seek to do harm have a lot more leverage than they did even 10 years ago, and a lot more opportunity to do wrong. And that's not your intent, and I do not accuse you of that. Mm-hmm. I think that I would like, I hope the council will pick you up and you're out. And your offer, come up with standards and regulations that are contemporary, that recognize the advances that have been made in this industry. But in the meantime, to say we'll remain silent and then end up having to go to court to maybe stop some narrative. Well, that's the best way to think. I'm not saying it's any of you gentlemen. I'm not saying it's you. But they're out there. We have people, and I know this as a journalist and as a mayor, that literally go from town to town looking for ways they can trip or fall so they can sue you and constantly, and that's all they do. That's what some people do.
I understand that, but I don't understand why my industry and this process is immediately thought that way. Because I understand the need for policy. I understand the need for an ordinance. I am very cognizant of the need for that. And I am happy to help so the ordinance that does get put in place will weed out the squeamish, so to speak. I just think that the ordinance that you're proposing today is outdated, and I'm worried that it will never change once it is imposed, because my time is limited, my resources are limited. So for me to come at this later and to go to special meetings and to discuss all of this information is a hardship that would be imposed on me.
That is being public responsibility, even the public.
That's why I'm here today, Mr. Mayor, because it's my responsibility to...
It's not a one and done, and I'm telling you, this is something where, you know, there used to be a process where things got developed, people had public hearings and so forth. Now people want to press a button and have instant everything. And I'm telling you, that's not the way we got to where we are. We weren't archaic. We have always been on the forefront of many, many positive social changes.
I'm not suggesting that
You're suggesting that we're going to...
I'm suggesting... No, I did not say those words, Mr. Mayor. I did not say those. I simply stated that the ordinance that you're pulling from that was established in 1985 that is not the responsibility of this council or this town, simply the county... I think those ordinances are outdated, and I would appreciate a little oversight from the town before implementing this ordinance in its current state. That's simply what I'm asking for. I'm not trying to raise an issue.
It's not going to be your responsibility if somebody does just what we do. If somebody does, where do we go? We end up spending our time and resources trying to stop something bad from happening instead of having a temporary emergency ordinance that then allows us to put something in place that we all feel good and confident about. You know, I wish it was the world that you're presenting, but my lifetime of experience has seen that that's not the way it works. And especially now, when we were isolated, years ago, it might have been possible we could have done something and not heard about it. Anything we do now is everywhere.
I would like to hear from the gentleman in the back.
Yes.
Please. Billy Parson first.
Yeah. I'm kind of along the same lines. If anybody's trying to make it a one and done, it seems to be you tonight. I think they need to give time to come up with the correct guidelines. I don't know if anybody up on the stand up there has had any experience in the industry. Has anybody been in a tattoo shop in the past 10, 15 years?
I don't.
Then you probably know the cleanliness.
Do you have a tattoo?
I went in there and can't wait back at
it. I would invite you to come to my studio.
It's a clean industry. There's no need for a doctor on site. I just don't see the need to have to rush this right now as opposed to giving it some time and coming up with the correct solution instead of boxing everybody out. I mean, I expect it to be a lot more people here tonight because a lot of people in your town go to these places and kind of take this personally.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to add to this as a heavily tattooed individual. Obviously, my name is Jim Costolino. They call me Jungle Jim. But there's many reasons why people get tattoos, not just to look good. Some women get it because they've had cancer and they've had their breasts removed. They get that taken care of. People like me, I've been burnt 29% of my body, so a lot of my scars have been covered up with tattoos. By Matthew Amy, and I probably wouldn't go anywhere else unless Matthew said he was good enough to tattoo me. But I think you need to look at things like that. It's just not the hoodlums that are getting tattooed and, you know, causing problems. Yep. There's a lot of people that want them, and for beauty reasons. You came up with the cosmetic tattoos. That's, you know, women lose their eyebrows. Cancer, radiation, however they do it, and this is why they want it. And this is why the industry is kind of misunderstood.
Well, we're not accusing the customer of being the problem. We're talking about people who would take advantage of the situation where we have no authority in which to do anything except for them to open up business. And I do not disagree with your premise. Mm-hmm. I think we should do this. And I see, is it also possible, very simply, to just simply have a 30 to 60 day moratorium with the stated reason to develop regulations that are meet contemporary standards? That's what I want to end up with something good here. But I don't want to be sitting here sitting duck. I hope you never lose the faith in mankind that serving as a public servant causes you to have. Because it's real. There's some real bad characters out there, and we've been keeping them at bay for a long damn time. And it's not just about that. They have to deal with this regardless of alcohol, regardless of whatever public safety you
make. Sure.
So you're talking about not passing an ordinance?
We're talking about having a moratorium on any of this, whatever the proper term is.
You could do that.
I'm just saying that way, again, sure. I think Mr. Amy's request is that this, as I think with the word used in his wife's letter, was too draconian, right? I think he made a very good argument about it. So what I'm saying is, let's both get what needs to be done for the public's long-term benefit, which is regulations that are contemporary, that recognize the advances that have been made, that encourage people of goodwill and good character to enter this business in this community, but also make sure that we're damn well protected against those few folks, and they're out there looking for any way they can, even if they don't even make money.
I understand. Can I just interject on that point? Those people are here now. Those people are tattooing in Ocean City out of their hotel rooms. I have at least a half a dozen phone calls every season asking if we sell tattoo equipment because they ran out. So it's already happening. Those people that you refer to are not going to come to town and try and open a business. They're going to come to town and they're going to do their thing regardless of what this town has to say or do. It's been happening for decades in Ocean City, in Worcester County, in Berlin, and there's just not that element in tattooing and microblading and the bodily alteration industry that it used to be 20 years ago. It's changed considerably. But there are still those ne'er-do-wells, but they're not going to come in here looking for a business license. They're going to do their thing regardless.
They don't need a business license right now.
Well,
I like to get over to people when you have a citrus.
Actually, my name is Jeremy Blackford. I reside at 7728 Liberty Town Road. I also am the general manager of Meridian Tavern. I actually was going to touch on exactly what Matt just said. With the ordinance that you're trying to pass or talking about passing, it's already happening. It's happening, like he said, in hotel rooms, in unsafe places. The nightmare that you're talking about is already happening. So we can work together. And I agree with you. I actually agree with all of you. If we can do this in a safe, secure manner, not necessarily having a doctor on premise. That's like saying having a fire marshal stand in my kitchen while the chef's cooking. You know what I mean? Like, I understand we're all in agreement on a certain level. But I understand the level that you're agreeing on, and I understand the level that he's agreeing on. You're scared of pirate tattooists in a hotel room. People get infection, they sue. It's happening already. What he's afraid of is him not being able to perform his art just because of the fear that something bad is going to happen. Something bad may happen, it may not happen. But when we come around the right guidelines, and as council and as citizens and business owners can come together and actually start putting together rules and regulations, especially with somebody that's been in the business for 20 plus years, has direct insight on, and been to many countries and seen how things are done. I mean, I think here, giving time to write out certain guidelines and meetings would benefit everybody. It would make everybody happy. And that way we wouldn't have to argue about everything as long as we just all talk about the same thing and not just kind of sweep it underneath the rug.
We're not trying to sweep anything under the rug, sir.
Well, I'm not suggesting that you are.
Accomplish what Mr. Matthew Amy wants to do, but doing it in the way in which we have to do it to protect the public.
And I am in total agreement of that.
I mean, that is our sworn responsibility. I think this... Now, let's take another scenario. A thing that almost never happens. There's all this interest. Why didn't somebody come in, say, you know, we'd like to get this business started here. We understand you have the Arts and Entertainment District. We would like to have, you know, regulations set up to make this up.
Somebody did call, Mr. Mayor, and this is what we're doing.
That's what started this whole conversation. Well, is someone did call to...
I have a motion I would like to make, please. I would like to make a motion that we put a 90-day moratorium on any tattoo or cosmetic tattooing, any type of tattoo industry for the town of Berlin for 90 days, and that the town council develop a committee to come up with some guidelines that are acceptable for the town and are proactive. I would like to work with Matt Amy on developing those, and then we'll present them to the council at a time where we can have a public comment and discuss it with something that's actually of this sector. That's my motion.
Okay, questions? Otherwise,
the only thing, two things. I have sat here and listened to you all, and I think there is a misconception in the room about tattooing. We are not up here trying to discuss or give pro and con opinions about the virtue of tattooing. That is not our intent. My son's tattooed, my wife is tattooed, my daughter is heavily tattooed, and so is my daughter-in-law. That I want nothing. Chicken, I would probably do that too.
I'll give you one of my cards.
But there are fly-by nights in any profession. We're here trying to protect the health and safety of the public. That's our only intent. We don't have any opinion about the virtues of being tattooed or not being tattooed and all that kind of stuff. We're trying to
And if we're going to have this committee like Zach is recommending, we need to go in this thing with that in mind. Tattooing is part of our daily lives, and it's going to be here. So don't think we think of tattooing in a negative sense, because we don't.
Understood.
We don't. We're here trying to make it safe for the public.
As am I.
This is all we're trying to do.
Agreed.
And with Zach's motion, I would suggest that Zach's motion be increased to, if we could, 120 days. And it not be led by Zach, but a staff person.
And we have to.
All right, so procedure-wise, we have the first vote on the amendment.
Yes.
And then on the original motion.
Yes.
Okay, see if I can get this straight.
We're first voting on what?
We're first voting on the amendment. If the amendment doesn't pass, then we vote on your original motion.
Right.
And is that correct?
That is correct.
It's been a while since we've had this situation.
That's correct.
So, first vote, and again, as a procedure, I'm asking that so we move forward, and then we get some idea of what the mayor and the council wants to do, is to say, we have a motion to amend Councilman Zach Kendall's proposal to have a 90-day moratorium on any establishment of a tattoo, I'll call it, is a general generic term, business in the town of Berlin.
That will include permanent cosmetics and microblading.
For 120 days.
Mr. Mayor, you may want to also add body piercing to
we're
that.
We're covered that.
Oh, that's right. That's covered under the county.
Yeah,
sorry.
But I appreciate the suggestion. What we have here is, so the council, if you have any questions, ask. But basically, we have the same motion with one significant difference in that Councilman Burrell's motion makes this moratorium in effect for 120 days and asks that the mayor and council be represented by a staff person. Original motion by Councilman Kendall, it's a 90-day moratorium with himself representing the mayor. Does anybody disagree with the?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what I said. I said that 120 days and the committee be led by a staff person, which I think should be town administrator.
So in other words, folks can volunteer, and then get that all organized and get it approved. So I think it's time to call for a vote. First on the amendment presented by Councilman Burrell. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so is that it? Unanimous?
I did it.
That's it.
All right. So that.
Effectively pushes the issue off for 120 days.
Yeah, it means that we have 120 days to come up with solutions.
Okay.
And see, that's another thing. That assumption that we don't want this is an assumption you're making.
I did not assume that.
Well, somebody did.
I was trying to clarify the information that was just presented. That's my misunderstanding. I apologize.
Rest assured, I would expect that Ms. Allen will be contacting you to participate in this endeavor.
Sure. I would be happy to participate.
Someone with your resume, I think, should be on that.
I appreciate that.
I don't think there's any debate about that.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everybody else.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. What about what? Oh, you thought you were good. Yeah.
Vernon, how can there's some frustration? And
a lot of that got out of it.
Back to the Future will be shown in Stephen Decatur Park. And I also just want to remind everyone that the next regularly scheduled council meeting would fall on October the 9th, I believe, which is Columbus Day. So the meeting will be held on Tuesday the 10th.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Mary? Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Fighter.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're reading meters this week, so you'll see all the staff out there walking up and down the streets reading meters. William Street Culvert Project is going well. It appears to be ahead of schedule. I'm not going to make any promises of when the street will be opened up, but it looks like it might be soon.
Awesome. Any questions for Jane? Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I guess the first thing I'll talk about is our mutual aid to Orlando, Florida. During Hurricane Irma, we were contacted by American Public Power Association and AMP, which is American Municipal Power, which we remember that. We signed a mutual aid agreement to provide assistance to other municipalities and people in need of power. During Hurricane Irma, we were requested to respond to the first city we were supposed to go to, what I believe was called Lewiston, Florida, which was on the south end down near Homestead area. We got about partway down there. We got as far as Manning, South Carolina. Three people in the picture up top there, that is myself and then Alan Parkinson was the chief lineman. He went with me. And then also Claude Littleton, he went with us also. We took two bucket trucks, a digger derrick and a line truck down there. We also, on the way there, we met up with a group from Pennsylvania, two first-class linemen. Their names were Bruce and Adam. They were from Pennsylvania. They actually met up with us right below Richmond, Virginia, on Wednesday evening. And they followed us from there to Manning, South Carolina. That's where we stayed Wednesday night. Then we got up that next morning and started heading to Clewiston. And we got a call partway on the way down there not to respond there because they had enough crews in the area. So they asked that we go to Orlando, Florida. So we ended up driving from there to Orlando. The total trip took 25 hours to get there from here to Orlando in our bucket trucks. We arrived there Thursday at about 7:30 at night. We had to go through a safety training class with Orlando Utilities to kind of get us all on the same page. Because when you're dealing with hurricanes and you're working with so many different municipalities, they want everybody to be on the same page so nobody makes any mistakes. So anyway, we sat through the safety training. Then the next morning, our day started at 4 a.m. in the morning. And we arrived at their headquarters at about 5 o'clock. Had to get through some meetings and stuff, and then they assigned a person from Orlando Utilities with us. And the first day, we ended up working on a three-phase vertical pole, which was energized at 12,470 volts. And we had to work it energized with rubber gloves and sleeves on. It was 98 degrees outside, and the humidity was 93%. It was really hot. So anyway, we ended up doing that. And then later that evening, they put us on what's called rear lot, which you'll see that in that picture on the left there with the trees. Basically, those are power lines where you can't get bucket trucks to them. You have to climb them. So we would have to go in there. They assigned a tree crew to us, and they would go in ahead of us. We actually had to kill a couple of power lines to allow the tree guys to get the trees off the lines. And then we could go in and put the lines back up. That's what you see on the right. Picture on the right side, that is a guy named Bruce. He's with a group out of Pennsylvania that was working with us. And the picture in the middle, that is Alan and myself working the three-phase energized pole there. One of the things they told us in the training class, which you'll see this in this picture coming up, this thing actually came after one of the linemen that is a water moccasin. They're very territorial. During the training class, they told us to keep an eye out for these things. They hang in the trees and stuff like that. And then also, if you're near a body of water, we had to watch out for alligators on top of that. And the very next morning, guess where we ended up? Right next to a big body of water. So I kept joking around with Alan. I'm like, is that two little beady eyes? But anyway, when we left here, there was 150,000 customers out. By the time we got there Thursday evening, they were down to about 12,000. And when we left on, I think it was Sunday, they were down to 8. We worked with crews from Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Connecticut, Virginia, Georgia. There was like 8 or 9 different states that sent linemen down. Just like to make everybody aware that during that time period, there were 2 out-of-state linemen that were electrocuted. Two of them happened in Florida, and one of them actually fell off a 5-story building in Georgia. He passed away. So everybody aware that it's a very dangerous job, and when you're dealing in a situation like that with trees that have fell and that type of thing, it's very stressful. But it was something that we enjoyed doing. It was an experience. I had been on 4 or 5 of these before, not really hurricane-type situations, but more like ice storms. In the dead of winter, dealing with ice and that type of thing. But I really enjoyed going, and I appreciate letting you us go down there and help them out. And then also the guys that stayed here, that made sure everything ran smoothly here, I also appreciate them staying behind and doing their job, and appreciate Chop Tank. They actually backed us up in this situation. If need be, they would hang in and help the town.
That's awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
I feel like I should have flown.
You're going on Gator Watch next time.
No, and please pass on our, not only the mayor, council, but the community. Many people were very, grateful that we were in a position to help others. So we feel helpless, but we please pass on to both the crew, the 3 of you that went down, how much we all respect what we all did, and also came back safe.
Thank you.
And next is Chief Arnold Downing.
The Cricket Center, which is the Worcester County Advocacy Center, will be having an open house on Wednesday. You've all been invited, 10 to 12. It's open to the public also. I have no further remarks.
Thank you. And thank you for your work to do with the Cricket Center.
Thank you.
What day is that?
It's on Wednesday.
It's
27. 10 a.m. to 12, right?
That's correct. And then we'll actually have tours of the actual center.
It's a wonderful facility. And I think there's only 2 or 3 on the entire Eastern Shore that are
accredited. Eastern and ourselves.
Yeah, Thompson County. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just pretty much have
One item of good news tonight, I think Kelsey's got a photo for it.
Yay!
Yeah,
that's another one. Again.
As I mentioned in our last meeting yesterday, on Sunday, Carolyn Duffy and I from my department, we graduated from Maryland Municipal Leeds Academy for Excellence in Local Government. And University of Maryland School of Public Policy, as you know, runs that program for MML. And we went and at the University of Maryland Chapel in College Park. There's some of the graduates. We actually graduated in 2016 at the end of the convention last year, but they didn't hold a ceremony last year. So we were included in this one at the top of the list. Because alphabetically, our town administrator, Laura Allen, also graduated. It was a really nice affair, a beautiful day. They treated us well. They had a nice reception and food afterwards. I thank you for letting us attend those. It helps in our job. The programs are beneficial. And now they've come out with a new round of graduate courses, so I think we'll continue to attend at the conventions they have every June in over in Ocean City. It's easy for us to get over and back, and we did it, especially Carolyn. She did it in record time. She went to the fall conference with me to get some of the core classes out of the way, and she was very proud to have done so, and I thank you all for that.
On behalf of the entire Mayor and Council, please accept our congratulations. Appreciate the initiative you've shown here, and please pass on our congratulations to Carolyn.
She wanted me to thank you all also.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for the good news.
Our next
Economic and Community Development Director,
Ivy
Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a couple of things for tonight. In David Deutsch's absence, I have been working with Dave Wilson to write two Coastal Bays grants for Berlin Falls Park. Working on that last week and a lot today. And also the ambassador reception is Thursday night, 5 p.m. at Finn's, and hope you all can make it to congratulate our ambassadors. We have a record number of door prizes that the businesses chipped in for this year, so hopefully you can make it for that. That's all I have tonight.
Is it Thursday or Friday, Ivy?
Thursday.
I thought the announcement Sharon sent out said Friday. There was a typo. I believe she, I thought she sent the second one.
She did say Thursday. Thursday. Definitely okay. Thursday.
Got it. Thanks.
At Finn's.
Five.
Shoes
are required.
Sure. That's Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Yep. Briefly, we did the cutover to United Healthcare last week. Temporary cards, we should have those by the end of the week. We'll have them by the end of the week. And then the actual permanent cards will be coming in the mail to your respective residences.
Thank you.
I found a bit of
I have
report.
Okay. I don't have any comments. Do you have any comments from any of the
No, I have no comments.
I have one thing. I have a citizen who lives right there at the entrance of Canary Village. You guys probably know who he is. he's concerned about there are like four buses that either drop kids off or pick them up. And there are no, I don't know how you could get this organization of the kids. They're just like all over the entrance. And he's wondering if the developer, I'll say that about three times, if he's willing to create some kind of bus stop cover or bus stop at the beginning of the entrance there, try to control where they stand.
Okay. First of all, do you know, does the Board of Education, have any agreement, understanding, policy, or precedent for this?
Well, okay. Again, we have discussed about covers, and right now we don't have any, you know, in the local area. We can definitely ask about them. We did that previously. And again, that's for cover for the kids going to rain. Right now, again, you have a large amount. Again, he said four buses that we actually see after school, which is even worse than in the morning. My suggestion is actually have her talk to the manager and see if she can actually get some volunteers out there at the bus stops with the parents.
Here's what happens to the rest of the flock.
And I can actually go ahead and have a discussion or open a line of dialogue with her in reference. And we know that we have an issue with the kids coming in mass. We're talking about both the kids getting on all at one time and getting on off all at one time. Again, the bus will come empty and it'll leave full. So, again.
And it's all four buses?
Again, we're talking about two buses because, again, actually the times, but they either come swooping in. My mother actually picks up there. So when she picks it up, she either loads half her bus, goes to Decatur, and then drops the kids off that quick. So
then you also got the pedestrian, the traffic coming in and out of.
At the same time.
Well, that's a situation we have everywhere, wherever a bus stops. But let me just throw this as a suggestion and tell me if you think this is practical. If between you and Laura and maybe the Bus Drivers Association, there's a public, what do you call that, director.
Kim Houser, again, I've been talking to her, especially with Wayne Street being blocked. You know, on a daily basis.
And let's see if we can get something more formal in place. And I guess the other thing is, what options we have, and who will be responsible for what? Because this is a new new based on the scale.
And honestly, it's not new based on scale.
No, really?
We have the exact same thing on Bay Street.
Okay.
It's no different. The thing of it is, we actually have parents that are there.
Okay.
That are there staying with their kids. So again, we have to go ahead and have a dialogue. If you there have people going to Buckingham, again, the parents should be out there. And again, with the bigger kids, you end up with a little different dynamic.
Okay.
That's a thought part of it way back when we approved standards. Don't they have some sort of association, a group there?
The suggestion that might be, it sounds to me that community is going to be there a long time, right? Generational. And that's something that maybe and let's be practical. The folks that operate, own that, the development, over 100 and some miles away, right? Even if they wanted to, it's very hard to manage a situation like that in that distance. But the parents and neighbors, I think, have a very vested interest and a real interest in the safety of the children and the entire situation. And I think it's, an opportunity where the citizens of the community can help the community. An observation. Maybe it's just because of all the years that gone by. We can't do everything for everybody. We can't be the governing body, the legislative body, and the citizens. So I think this is a case where the citizens need to step forward to help resolve the situation. If you encourage that, if there's something where we can maybe have a meeting to at least get it started, but it's not our function to be the parents, but we would like to create the safest and most appropriate situation for this situation, and maybe we can find a precedent. If you disagree, say so. Yes, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
One thing, status on Henry Park restroom.
Mm-hmm. Status is that the installer is still working on getting his Maryland contractor's license. The vendor does keep me updated on a regular basis. I have no reason to believe that he's being anything but truthful with me.
Can you get some sort of timeline, some sort of commitment?
I have asked.
Wait a minute. Say it again.
The installer is working on getting his Maryland contractor's license. This will be the first job in Maryland that the manufacturer's installer has done. The manufacturer does not come and install himself. It's a third party, I should say, installer.
So tell me, how long are we going to wait
accordingly to get this stuff together so we can get this rental done?
I check with him on a regular basis. As I said, I have no reason to think that he's in any way being untruthful with me.
How far along is the restroom?
The restroom itself is 85% complete as of 2 weeks ago. The building itself.
Can you give him a little giddy up? Tell him that it is a concern of the mayor and council, that you know the community has been anticipating this a long time. We'll be entering into the fall, and
whenever we'll be here.
And give us a report back at 2 weeks from now. Hopefully, a report can give us some sort of expectation that's realistic. And then we'll go away. Is that
here? I'll see
you.
That's fine.
Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Hey, do we have any comments from anyone attending tonight's meeting or anything that would like to be brought to the mayor and council? Do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Stand adjourned and thank you very much for your patience.
I think Cowboy fans want to know.